Well, good morning. That'll do. Welcome to Riverside. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around this place. And this week and next week, we're going to wrap up our series in which we've been going through the Gospel of Mark together. Today, we're in chapter 15. So if you guys want to open up your Bible straight away to there, that'd be great. Mark 15. If you're using the Bibles under your chair, it's page 777. Ooh, I know. I wonder what's on page 666. I'm now just curious. I don't know. That's my ADD kicking in right there. Woo, a bird. You know. All right, so Mark 15, page 177 in your Riverside Bibles. Now, the past couple of weeks, we've looked at Mark chapter 14. We've seen Jesus have his last supper with his band of brothers. We've seen Jesus be arrested. We saw Jesus' closest friend Peter deny knowing Jesus. And we've seen that Jesus was sentenced to die in the religious court. The religious people have sentenced Jesus to die, which brings us today to chapter 15. And chapter 15 is just as packed as chapter 14. We covered 14 in about, I think, 5 Sundays. We're covering chapter 15 just today. So I want to outline it real fast. And we're first going to see Jesus' trial in the civil court. The religious leaders in chapter 14 said Jesus must die in the religious court, but now we're going to see he's in the civil court. And then after that, we see he's prepared by Rome to be killed. He's mocked. Then in Mark 15, 21, we see he's crucified by being nailed to a cross. And then we finally see his death and his burial in today's chapter at the end of chapter 15. So there's a lot of stuff here in chapter 15. I'm not going to cover it all. I'm specifically going to focus on verses 6 through 15, though, as they seem to be the ones that really jumped out to me this week as I prepared for this message. Now, when I was reading this chapter this week, an event from my past kept coming to mind. And it was an event when I was a new driver. You see, when I was 16 and I got my license, my parents let me borrow their car, which was really cool, than my mom's old Honda. But they had two rules. And the two rules were very simple. I could have no friends in the car when I drove. And when I drove, I had to park it at my friend's house where I told them I was going, and I couldn't drive anywhere after that, no matter what. So no driving around the town. Now, one night, my best friend Tony and I were hanging out. We had met some cute girls a couple weekends before at the amusement park, Kings Island in Cincinnati. Yep. That's right, yep. Was that for cute girls or for Kings Island? Which one was that for, that amen? All right. Anyway, so there's these cute girls, and they lived 45 minutes away. I was supposed to park the car at Tony's house that night, but we decided to take my mom's car, drive 45 minutes to go see these two girls we had met, you know? We were 16. Well, after we had spent a lot of time with these girls, we were driving back to his house, 45 minutes away, and a storm had started. A storm had started that night. It was raining really hard. I was a new driver. I didn't know the back roads very well. As we were making a sharp turn, I lost control of the car and to a guardrail. Now, a cop shows up, takes me to the local payphone, and I call my dad. Ring, ring. A bad phone. Ring, ring. There we go. Hey, Dad, it's Keith. Got a problem. Yeah, Keith, what's going on? Dad, well, I lost control of the car and I crashed into a guardrail. My dad goes, oh, no, are you okay, Keith? Yeah, Dad, we're fine, but the car's undrivable. Can you come pick us up? And he goes, pick us up? Well, who else is there? You're not supposed to have anyone else in the car when you drive, Keith. Yeah, Dad, Tony and I just went out real quick, and he's, okay, we'll talk about it later, Keith. At least you're okay. So where are you at? I said, Dad, I'm in Mount Carmel, which is 45 minutes away from Cincinnati. In silence. After a little bit, my dad said, Keith, that's 45 minutes away. We'll talk when we get there. Now, of course, my parents were mad. They're more disappointed in me than anything else. I lied about our evening plans. I had broke their trust. I knew the rules, and I had just disobeyed them. And this car damage basically got quoted out a $1,200 to $1,500 worth of damage. And I remember when the final bill came. It was like $1,500 or something. And I remember thinking, okay, I work at the local pizza joint called the Rosas. I make $5.15 an hour. $5.15 an hour divided by $1,500 times. That's going to take me the entire summer just to pay off these repairs. I'm thinking, crud. My mom and my dad, they look at me and they said, you know what, Keith? We've decided to pay for these. I was like, what? Are you serious? We've decided to pay for the repairs. Now, we're very disappointed in your decision. It hurt us. It hurt us emotionally. It hurts us relationally. And obviously, it hurts us financially. But we're going to take the burden of paying for this repair. And I'll tell you, I was shocked. I'm like, are you serious? After I did all that, you're going to pay for it? I was shocked. I didn't expect it. I deserved to have to pay for it. I deserved a lot more for that bad decision. But they chose to cover it and pay the price for me. It was humbling and something I still remember a lot, especially now that I have 5 kids of my own, 4 boys that are, 2 of them are going to be 9 soon. I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, they're driving. So, I mean, I think about that time a lot and the grace that my parents showed me. I understood the cost, but it was amazing. And a similar thing happens today in Mark 15. A very similar story, which is Mark 15, 6 through 15. Again, it's on page 777 in your Riverside Bibles. Now, again, leading up to this passage, Jesus is condemned in the religious court. He's condemned to die in the religious court. Then he's thrown in the Roman jail, the civil court. And then, here in Mark chapter 15, we read, "Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner." So it's the Passover, this is a Jewish holiday. It's kind of the Roman custom to let one Jewish prisoner go every year. Anyone the people requested. And so one of the prisoners of that time was a guy named Barabbas, a revolutionary who committed murder in an uprising. The Gospel of John said he was also a robber. The crowd went to Pilate and asked for him to be released as the prisoner. To be released, the prisoner. And Pilate said, the Roman governor said, "Would you like me to release you, this king of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized his leading priest, they arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. So the Roman governor said, "Well, what should I do with this man you call king?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate demanded, "Why? What crime has he done?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus to be flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Then he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. So Jesus is in jail, and this guy Barabbas is in jail. We know from verse 7, Barabbas is in jail because he led an uprising against Rome. We also know he murdered people, and from the Gospel of John, we know he's a robber. So you have Jesus in jail, who didn't do anything other than tick off religious people, which that's worth an amen, I think. And then we have, Jesus is healing folks, he's restoring folks, he's making bold claims about God and God's kingdom, and for some reason it ticks the religious people off to the point where they say he must be killed. And then we have Barabbas. In Rome's eyes, he would have been a terrorist. He was a murderer. He was a robber. And both Barabbas and Jesus are in jail. Both are going to die a horrible death on the cross. Dying on the cross is called crucifixion. It's where they nail you to a wooden cross, and you basically die from suffocation, from hanging there for days. It's brutal. And both Jesus and Barabbas are now staring this death in the face, but in verse 9, we get a glimpse of the heart of this Roman governor whose name was Pilate. He was uncomfortable with this whole crucifying Jesus. He's very uncomfortable with it. So the Roman governor didn't want to kill Jesus, and we see in verse 6 there's this tradition that every Passover they would let at least one Jewish prisoner go. So the Roman governor figures they're going to pick Jesus. He's been healing people, right? So he gives them an option, Jesus or Barabbas. Of course you're going to pick Jesus over this murder, robber, terrorist guy, right? But you see in verse 11, the religious leaders have stirred up the crowd. And the crowd asked for the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. In fact, we see in the other accounts that the crowd starts chanting, "Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas, we want Barabbas." And the Roman governor says, "Well, what should we do with Jesus?" And they go, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." So then in verse 15, the Roman governor finally gives the people what they want. The murderer, the robber is released. And Jesus is sent to be crucified. Now, we're going to do a little exercise here. A little crowd participation. I want us to fully grasp what's probably going on for Barabbas here. Barabbas is in jail of the most powerful country on earth. He's basically, in modern day terms, he's in a U.S. jail. We're apparently the world's only superpower, according to the news. And so Barabbas is in jail. He's a terrorist, according to Rome. So he's a terrorist against the United States. We'll use that analogy. He's murdered people and he's robbed people. And he's going to be sent to die. He's going to be crucified. And he can't do anything to stop it. There's no more appeals for this guy. I imagine because he's in Rome 2,000 years ago, his cell's like in a dungeon. It's probably this dark, cold, damp dungeon cell, away from light and away from civilization. And then he starts to hear this chanting. And so now I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Come on, someone raise your hand. I need a volunteer. We're gonna get like crowd participation here. Oh yeah. Right here. Tell everyone your name, Orlando.
Mendez.
Mendez. I got his last name wrong during baby dedications. Apparently you don't mess up your last name, right? He said, my mom would never let me come up there if you pronounce my last name that way. Mendez. Orlando Mendez. All right. All right. Well, thanks, Orlando, for volunteering. Now, you're sitting right there. Now, you're in jail. He's in jail, okay? Imagine you're in jail. You're sentenced to die for all the horrible things you've done. Now, a jail is dark, so let's dim the lights a little bit. Yeah. There's not air conditioning in most jail cells like here, but you can leave. It's damp and wet. Now, crowd, here's what I need from you. I'm going to start chanting, and you're going to have to follow me. Whatever I say, I want you guys to join in, okay? And then you're in jail, you're about to die, about to be executed, and then you start hearing this from outside the walls. Orlando, Orlando, come on, no, Orlando, Orlando. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify. You're not dancing. Orlando, Orlando, Orlando. Electric chair this time. Electric chair, electric chair, electric chair, electric chair. Orlando, Orlando. I mean, so how do you feel right now hearing your name and the word electric chair, knowing you're about to die? It's pretty freaky, right? So it's Orlando. It's electric chair, electric chair. And then the guards come. All right, it's time. And you can still hear his name, Orlando, electric chair. And he's freaking out, right? He's freaking out. He's freaking out. And the guards say, and he gets a glimpse of sunlight. Sunlight, we'll raise the lights here then. Sunlight, oh. Very multimedia savvy here at Riverside Church. And he's thinking, this is it, right? And the guards say, you're free to go. They'll never come back. You see what he does? He runs. He runs. I imagine Barabbas was in shock. I bet he looks around and he goes, they've been chanting my name and the word crucify. Then he realizes when he gets the context, oh, they were saying, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. But he didn't waste any time. I mean, just like Orlando, he's like, gone. I mean, he hits it running. Folks, Barabbas was guilty. He was guilty of robbery. He was guilty of violating the laws of Rome. He was guilty of stealing someone's life. He deserved to die. Yet Barabbas is set free. And the innocent Jesus dies in his place. Barabbas deserves to die. He does. And by the way, according to the Bible, so do all of us. Each one of us are like Barabbas. Barabbas is an illustration of each one of us in the Gospel of Mark. You see, for example, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Everyone. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. It's like Barabbas, we're murderers. By the way, every one of you is a murderer. Because Matthew 5:21 says if you have anger in your heart ever, you might as well have committed murder. I don't know about you, but I have been angry for unrighteous reasons before. And just like Barabbas, we've all rebelled against God on many levels. We're all sinners like Barabbas. In fact, the Bible says we're not only sinners, but we're so much like Barabbas that we're enemies of God. Romans 5:10 calls us enemies of God. So we're all guilty, sinful, enemies of God, deserving death like Barabbas. Barabbas is a picture of you and me in the Gospel of Mark. See, God's a just God. He deserves a full payment for sin, which is death. Barabbas earned a full payment of death. God has set this world to be perfect, and, And he said, when there's sin, when there's rebellion against God, it leads to separation. The separation leads to death. But in God's mercy, he provides a substitute. He provided a substitute for Barabbas, right? I mean, Barabbas must have had his stomach just churning when his name's being chanted. Barabbas, crucify. Barabbas, crucify. I mean, his stomach's just churning. And I wonder what he must have felt like when the jailer said, get out! Don't let us see your face again. These guards are pretty ticked, I bet. This is a terrorist against their country. Get out! He's freed you. We never just see you again. I bet he just goes. You see, Jesus really did die in the place of Barabbas that day because the people made a choice. It was either going to be Barabbas, a murderer and a robber, or Jesus, an innocent man. So when they made their choice, Jesus literally became a substitute for Barabbas. He died in the place of Barabbas, for the criminal. Barabbas was set free in a matter of minutes, and he walked away, blameless according to the Roman law. The Roman law said, you're free. All that past stuff you've done, you're free. Jesus is taking your place. Amazing. And according to the Bible, you and me are a lot like Barabbas. And that Jesus died in our place as well. Just like Barabbas, we were sent free because Christ became our substitute for the sin we've done and the sins that we're going to do, by the way. For example, Romans 5:10. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of Jesus, while we were still enemies. So we're enemies. We've not done anything, and his death has restored us. We certainly will be saved through the life of Jesus, or 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, a.k.a. he didn't deserve punishment, to be our substitute, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. Folks, really in a nutshell, that's the heart of the Christian message, right? That's the heart of history of mankind, that God created a good world, and we messed it up, we've fallen away, so God has come to set this world right, and God had to do that by making a payment for the wrongs that we've done, and he took that payment upon himself in Jesus. That's what we celebrate this coming Friday on Good Friday. You and I are both like Barabbas. We are. That's what the Gospel of Mark is paralleling here. We are all like Barabbas. Even me, I'm probably more guilty than all of you. If you don't believe me, listen to the podcast 2 weeks ago. I mean, trust me. We're all like Barabbas. Yet we all have the option of walking away free if we embrace this life of Jesus, and we embrace his death, and as we'll see next Sunday, if we embrace his resurrection from the grave, his life. So, for some of us in this room, some of you are like Barabbas before he was set free. I mean, some of us are still chained in the dungeon due to our sin. We're still chained because of our decision to try to do this on our own instead of living with God. And if you're still chained to like your sin and to your brokenness, you've not given your life to Jesus, he's saying, hey, by the way, I've already done this for you. Barabbas didn't do anything to earn his freedom. And Jesus is not saying you have to do something to earn freedom. He's saying, I've already paid the price for your mistakes, by the way. But here's the deal. Just like Orlando booked it, I mean, he left when he was set free. Barabbas had to walk out. And so if you're in here going, I don't know where I stand, he's not going to force it upon you. It's available, but you've got to say, yes, I want that. We have to respond, say, yeah, I'll take that. I'm up for that. That's a pretty good thing. Jesus, take control of my life. Take control of all I am. And let your death and your resurrection just change me. I mean, some of you are just in bondage right now. You are. And you just, some of you are going to die eternally because of it. Some of us are going to be separated eternally from God because we've not accepted this. Not only was Barabbas set free, but he's also given a new life, right? And if you've been around here for any amount of time, you know that we're not just a church that cares about where you go when you die, We think life is so much more than just where you go when you die. Now, it's kind of important. Here's a hint. A million years in the future versus the next 40 years of my life, eternity is kind of important. But it's not the only thing about the Christian gospel. Barabbas was set free right then and there to live life now. And the other aspect of Jesus dying for us is we can live life to the full now. A fresh, new, ready to start all over again. So that's what Jesus is offering us. To live with him forever as well as live with him right now. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, that's something I would want. I'm not sure I understand it all, but that's something I would want. I want to say, that's awesome. That's great. In a couple of minutes, we're going to start singing a few songs here. I want to encourage you, if that's you, do some business with God. Do some business with God and say, yes, I want some of that. There'll be some folks in the back ready to pray with you. James and Jeremy will be back there since I won't be able to do this. I'll be up here saying, yeah, let us do some business with God. For others of us in this room, we've heard this story many, many times. We've known that Jesus has died on the cross for us. We've accepted that. Yet at times, we've become so familiar with this story that it ceases to amaze us, right? I fear that I've become so familiar with the story that Jesus died on the cross in my place that it doesn't shock me anymore. I don't run off like Orlando just run off when I'm set free. I don't think about that anymore. Sometimes this message of the gospel doesn't cause me to stop in my tracks and just marvel at how awesome God is. In a little bit, we're going to sing a song that has these following words. It's from an old hymn. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise the one who paid my debt and raised my life up from the dead. A lot of the folks in this room have already done this. We've already given our lives and yielded our lives to Jesus. And if that's you, I want to encourage you guys, really reflect upon the words we're going to sing a little bit here. I mean, this should shock us, this idea of Barabbas being set free, a terrorist, murderer, and a robber, which according to the Bible, we all are. This idea that we were sentenced to death and set free, that should shock you if you're 2 weeks old in yielding your life to Jesus or if you're 50 years walking with Jesus. That's just a message that should never get old. And as we soon will be coming to the communion table, as a way of remembering this. We do this every week because, honestly, we forget. We're shocked by it. So when we come to this table, we go, oh yeah, Jesus, the God of the universe, died on a cross, paid my debt. Whew. And he wants me to remember that by consuming him. Amazing. So we're going to sing a few more songs. Ben, you can come up. And I'll encourage you guys, do some business with God. Do some business with God before you come to the communion table. Think about the blood that was shed on your behalf, whether or not you've accepted it or not. Maybe some of you are going, I'm not even fully sure I believe that yet. By the way, I was an atheist for many years. I'm in the same boat as you are. I was in the same boat probably for some of you. Do some business with God. Some of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and it's time to really go, yeah, you know what? This starts the Passion Week, right? This Friday, the church celebrates Good Friday, when he was crucified. And then the next Sunday, we celebrate Easter, the resurrection. Some of us need to just do business going, God, I am so sorry. I have been just blah in remembering this story. This is an amazing, amazing reality that we all live in. So for some of us, reflect upon that. And if you need prayer, there'll be some folks in the back ready to pray with you for anything. Prepare your hearts, and when you're ready, come to the communion table. Okay, would you stand with me? We're going to sing a little bit longer this morning. I kind of talked for a little less. I really want us to have some time to reflect on the basic message of the gospel. That God came in the form of a man and died in our place, and that's a free thing for us to accept. So prepare your hearts, and when you're ready, come to the table which symbolizes his body and his blood. God, we are so, so thankful. God, I just confess, I have, in some aspects, just watered down your message, God. That the God of the universe, you have come and you have taken the place of a wretched person like me, God. What an amazing thing, God. So God, I pray that you would just, your spirit move in this room this morning. God, for the folks in here who have not yielded to you, you would just meet them and you would show yourself to them. We know you're bigger and you're more powerful than we could ever imagine. So just come and meet folks, God. I pray for lives to be changed just by the simple story of Barabbas and the simple realization of where we stand in regards to you, God. So come and be glorified, God. I pray for healing in this room. We're so excited as a church to celebrate our second ever Easter together next week. And we just say you are good. We say, come and have your way. Do as you see fit.